Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have in studio, live, David Perez and Don Perez. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Nice. Hey, it sounds like they are related, and yes, they are, but not in the way you're thinking out there, audience. They are mother and son. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
And we've had David on our show before as a member of Positive Images, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Probably around 2007 or so.
Mm-hmm. And so we just want to welcome you back.
Thank you. I mean,
you're like a grown man now, and it's like, whoa.
Right.
You can't wait to hear about what you've been doing in your life, David. But we've not had your mom on and didn't even really know that your mom was a lesbian. We met you, both of you together at Gay Pride this last summer. And you both agreed to be on our show, and here you are. We're so happy to have you. This is going to be a great show because both mom and son are gay, which Diana and I thought was pretty amazing.
Exactly. So we're going to hear about how mother and son negotiate and navigate life. But first, we have news and events.
With our engineer and Outbeat member, Greg Moralia.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, September 1st, 2012. Hurricane Isaac has caused flooding, deaths, and structural damage across the Gulf Coast, and large numbers of people are still without electricity. But some predictably have found a way to tie the destruction to LGBT people. The hurricane's landfall coincides with the annual Southern Decadence Festival known as Gay Mardi Gras, which attracts some 120,000 people to New Orleans. And despite the weather, the event is scheduled to go on as planned. However, the American Family Association's Buster Wilson said there seems to be a pattern of LGBT welcoming places like New Orleans and San Francisco experiencing frequent natural disasters such as hurricanes on the Gulf Coast and, quote, the most devastating earthquakes in American history, end quote. Defendant Proclaim Faith's pastor John McTernan wrote on Monday that the hurricane's landfall and the scheduling of Southern Decadence is no coincidence. He said, Isaac, of course, is the biblical name meaning laughter. He said, the fact that events are 7 years apart is very significant and the number is biblically important. It's the number of completion. God created the universe in 7 days. The church, city, and nation have not repented, and the homosexual agenda is far worse than it was in 2005. And here in Sonoma County, a woman has come forward after receiving an email she found offensive from a man she's been relying on to deliver doctor-prescribed marijuana to her home. The man, Richard Hirsch, is an employee of Sonoma MMJ Collective, a nonprofit that serves Sonoma and Napa counties and promises, according to its website, premium medicinal marijuana strains, easy sign-up, rapid verification, easy ordering, and discreet professional delivery. The contents of the email include what she believes were meant as a joke, but what she considers to be hate speech. The employee wrote in the email, quote, what's the miracle of AIDS? It turns fruits into vegetables. The email was sent from the company's email address. The woman, whose identity she prefers to keep private because of the possible legal ramifications of purchasing and using medicinal marijuana, said, I was enraged, shocked, and actually felt hurt by it. I think I felt a little betrayed by him in a way, because this is someone who I had let into my home. I thought of all of the people who had contracted HIV/AIDS, who have suffered and who have died. I also thought of a person I knew in the 90s, Carlos, who had put up a long battle against AIDS and who had finally succumbed to it. In the woman's opinion, the employee of Sonoma MMJ Collective's response to her email didn't make sense, was illogical, contradictory, and contained many fallacies in his logic and reasoning. In his response, he claimed that he made up the joke in the 1980s, and back then it was funny as hell. He claims that he lost a good friend who was gay in the 1980s to AIDS. She added, if this were really the case, why would he have created such a terrible joke? His good friend dies of AIDS, and his first instinct is to create a joke making light of the disease. It doesn't make sense, and in the end, it just doesn't add up. I perceive it as the stereotypical response a bigot of any kind has when their behavior is called into question. A bigot's behavior or words are questioned, and the person says something like, I'm not a racist. My best friend is a black person. It just wasn't honest, and it was clear that I wasn't going to receive an apology of any kind. Sonoma MMJ Collective and the company's employees have not yet replied to Outbeat Radio News' emails or phone calls. And finally, the Napa Valley Conservatory Theater at the Napa Valley College invites you to their production of The Laramie Project 10 years later, the epilogue to the now-famous Laramie Project. The play opens September 21st. Tickets are $15 for students, veterans, and seniors, $20 for general admission. And you can order them now online at napavalleytheater.org. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, September 4th, and every Tuesday from 1 to 4 p.m., rapid HIV testing is available at Face-to-Face, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday, September 6th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the Men for Men support group will gather at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And on Saturday, September 8th, from 2 to 6 p.m., Art for Life will take place at the Mary Agatha Firth Center in Windsor. This is the annual art auction event that supports Face-to-Face, the Sonoma County AIDS Network. Tickets are $75 and include food and wine from Sonoma County's best restaurants and wineries. And on Sunday, September 9th at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG's North Bay Support Group will meet at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, 1226 Salvador Avenue in Napa. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
And hello, welcome back. If you just joined us, however, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And we're in studio this evening with Dawn and David Perez, mother and son, living here in Sonoma County. So welcome back, everybody. So glad to be here with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good. So let us start with you, David, because you talked about earlier before we went to news and events that it was like 2007. That's like 5 years ago.
Yeah, since I've been on the show.
Yeah. So let's catch up. Give us a update. What's going on in your life? What you've been up to?
Sure. Okay. Let's see. Well, since the show, I graduated out of Positive Images, the nonprofit organization for gay, lesbian youth and young adults. Since then, I've been working with Sonoma Bank in the Windsor branch, and going on my 6th year actually working there as a personal banker. I live out in Santa Rosa, and, you know, I'm with my partner now out there and just kind of, you know, living life, having fun, and being me.
Wonderful. You sound good and you look great.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. So I know your mom's here, and we want to talk about the relationship, and it's just we haven't had any, I don't think we've had any mother-daughter or father-son or any kind of combination of family where the mother, or the, you know, is gay, both of you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just curious, how was that for you? When did you come out?
Well, I came out at 14. And
how old are you now?
I am 26. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, about half of my life, halfway through my life, I discovered and identified at the fact that I'm gay. And luckily for me, as far as I can remember, my mom had always been a lesbian and with women. At the time, she was pregnant with me. My father and her had a really stormy relationship to the point where it almost killed her. Mm-hmm. So with that, I was the motivation to remove herself from that equation and just kind of progress forward as who she is, which is a lesbian. And so coming out to my mom, really, really easy. I mean, obviously. The funny part is that we're actually 3 generations of gay people. I myself, her, and her father. So although he's not here, it's 3 generations of queers, I guess you could say. More politically correct, so.
Not, what do you mean not here? He's not here in the room with us, or he's just not, did he pass?
No, not in the room. Yeah, he's still very well and alive. But we don't get to see him as often. He's over near the Sacramento area, you know. So coming out was really great, you know, family-wise. My family is pretty open and accepting. Never really had any hardships there. Mm-hmm. The only hardships I really had was at school when I started high school. And the reason why is, you know, when you're raised in a family where you're so accepting to be who you are and as you are and have no reason to explain yourself, going out into the quote-unquote real world, it's a culture shock, I guess, because when I went out there, I thought, oh, well, everybody's like that. I mean, all the way up through high school, I went out there, and one of the high schools that I was at locally here, I was not only the only freshman that wasn't traditionally trash-canned by the upperclassmen, I was also the only out gay freshman at the time. So every single day for a year and a half, I was basically beat up, chased to and from school, threatened to be punched with razor blades taped between people's fingers, hit in the back with stools. In my engineering class, I was once threatened to have my hand run through a table saw. It was uncanny. And I would talk with the staff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. And I would talk to the staff about it. And their whole thing was just stay out of their way. I mean, bottom line, it was, we'll talk to them, but there's not much we can do when it's, quote unquote, 80% of the male, you know, class group, you know. And so it was really tough. That's when I started going to Positive Images to help get the support that I needed in the social setting, a place where I could go out and be who I am in a public setting and not worry about my safety. Mm-hmm. So school was still kind of bad.
So, yeah, so I'm thinking about mom right now, Dawn. How was that? Were you able to talk to your mom? I mean, you say you go to Positive Images, but we're going to go to Positive Images. But I'm curious about, were you able to talk to your mom about what was going on with you at school?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she actually probably had more of a tough time dealing with it than I did. I mean, I was really frustrated and really, you know, upset. A lot of times I'd come, you know, tears in my eyes, just saying, I don't understand, you know, what's going on? Why is this so hard, et cetera? But, you know, she felt for me. But I've had absolutely no problem speaking with her about anything that's been going on, and I still don't. So
Dawn, share a little bit how that was for you.
It was very hard for me because I had just gone through a spinal surgery behind my heart, and they had to put titanium in there. And I didn't do so well with the surgery. So I was in a brace and in with chest tubes and hospital beds at the time this was taking place. Mm. So I came to learn about some of it after I was getting better, and then that really bothered me more because I felt so helpless, and I so would have done a lot more than I was able to do then. It was tough. It was tough. I wasn't happy at all. I was upset very much so, and I was thankful that Jim helped me get David out of Forestville and into Santa Rosa.
Jim being?
Jim at Positive Images. Mm-hmm. And being that he was a member, even though they had a waiting list in Santa Rosa High School, mm-hmm. due to the circumstances, they had taken out the GSA the year David started. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to get him bumped in right away. Thank God for that. And he wasn't going through any of that. And I was really surprised that he was going through it at that school because I had moved here in 95 and he went to Guerneville School, which is a very diverse area. So there were a lot of parents that were lesbian or gay or, you know, heterosexual. But it was more accepting. It was like, okay, and that mentality. So I thought that's a great, you know, place and safe area to raise my son. And going on to the high school, same kids, you know. Well, I didn't know there were 10 schools integrated in there, and I had no idea this would have happened, you know. And
well, but David, I mean, I know this was quite a while ago because you're 26 now, but the kids that you went to school with in Guerneville that your mom just talked about, where were they when all this was happening?
Well, from middle school through high school, as we know, that's when we start playing identity, you know, starting to figure out who we are and what's going on. So my close-knit circle of friends ended up dispersing. Mm. I mean, I had literally a close-knit of friends that was probably maybe 4 or 5 other people. And they were spread apart so thin that they were on opposite ends of the campus in their own little niches. Mine ended up becoming, you know, basically king of the women, because I would socialize with all the ladies. Those were the ones that I was able to be out and about and have fun. Ironically, the social group of men that I did hang out with in middle school all have come out now. And we, at that time, didn't even identify ourselves as such. And we both kind of came back. We all came back and went, wow, how did that happen? You know, but at that time, they weren't out. They weren't discovering who they were. They have, you know, more. They found more people that would identify more with what they wanted to socialize about on a day-to-day basis. Mine was more geared towards the girls because I always liked talking about, you know, boys and shopping and hanging out and all that fun stuff. But what was the tragic part is that the women that I would hang out with were also socially connected to the guys that would beat me on a daily basis. So a majority of them were actually the girlfriends of these guys. And it, I don't know if it stemmed from the fact that either maybe I developed a better connection with the girls or, you know, their own personal problems with who they are, et cetera. But, you know, I'll never know. The bright side is that although I went through that, when I transitioned to a new high school, I was able to be who I am today. You know, I was able to express myself. I ended up becoming varsity cheerleader, the captain. And had a great time doing that. And I was just so comfortable doing what I needed to do at that point that, I mean, it's almost as if it's nothing but a bad dream. It doesn't even affect my day-to-day life. I have not had any, like, I guess, post-traumatic kind of trauma. The only thing that ever kind of worries me is if some gentleman kind of gets a little, you know, angry or gruff in my, you know, in my presence. It kind of sets me a little ooh about it, but when doesn't that happen to anybody, you know? But on the whole, I've...
That's amazing that you transitioned schools and then just, you know, kept your freedom going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just allowed yourself just to be and to be head of the cheerleading.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that about Forestville. Is that Forestville High School?
Or? El Molino.
Mm-hmm. El Molino versus Santa Rosa High.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow.
I would have thought it'd be different because there's so much diversity in Santa Rosa. You've got all kinds of different cliques. And I was a little bit more hesitant looking, you know, thinking, oh, wow, if I thought this school was bad, that school, you know, kind of scared me at first.
So how was that for you as a gay parent then when you felt so comfortable in Guerneville with, you know, having David go to school and you mentioned that there were other gay parents and you felt comfortable, right,
yeah,
Don?
Right.
And now he's going to Santa Rosa High and you don't know how it's going to be and you're kind of anxious about it. How did you handle it being a lesbian and finding other gay parents? I mean, did you find other gay parents, or how was that for you?
I did. I mean, here and there, just through the kids and going through, like, field trips and helping with the school and getting to know the... It was a unique school, actually. The teachers are there definitely because they love the kids. And so it's more personal. They give you their phone numbers, and, you know, the parents are real friendly. And, yeah, I met a lot. It was kind of interesting. He was an only child. And they seem to migrate and somehow find each other. And then it just turns out they were gay or their mother was a lesbian. And I just kind of, through him and his friends, introduced me to their parents. And it just kind of just kept going like that. So it was kind of cool. I like that. That's the reason I moved here. Another reason I moved here. Because the Bay Area was kind of not as there's diversity, but not exactly where I was. And I didn't want him to feel he was the only kid in school with a divorced parent that is living with a female, because all of his other friends had, the ones that were divorced, their parents were dating men. So I didn't want him growing up feeling like he's the only one that has that type of life. So I thought Guerneville would be ideal because, I mean, it's a beautiful place. You don't really have to worry about gangs and people don't really judge. You know, and it was, he could be a boy, you know, and yeah, I just thought it would be a good place for him.
And it was for a while.
It was. Like. It was wonderful until high school.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the principals of each high school would be thinking if they listened to this interview right now. You know,
hopefully learning something.
Santa Rosa High School.
Yeah. Well, God bless Santa Rosa High School.
Well,
and David, you wanted to say?
Yeah, the ironic thing was when I ended up going back through PI, they offer the opportunity to share their coming out, for the youth to share their coming out stories to local high schools and whatnot. During which time, since I was at Santa Rosa High, I was establishing myself in their peer counseling program, which I think really helped me grow to be who I am and to make sure that none of what was going on would actually affect me. I actually had a way and a roadmap, so to speak, for emotional, you know, for emotional, I don't know what's the word, to deal with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And to make sure you deal with it appropriately, because, you know, suicide rates mm-hmm. in my generation from coming out alone were just outrageous. And I for sure am not going to be a statistic. I'm going to rise above it. But when I would go back to El Molino, because of what happened, the staff all of a sudden now appoints security to follow me around to make sure that I would not be harmed. And this was during the time their GSAs weren't even established. And the funny part is every time I'd go back there, other generations of students that would come in, aren't you that kid? And I said, yeah, you know, and that they would identify me as, you know, one situation that happened before I had transitioned out, where I stood up to the entire body of men that were basically picking on me. And their whole deal was, get your group together, we'll get our group together, and at the end of lunch we're going to just have an all-out war on the park in the grass. And I'm thinking, are you sure you want to do that? And I said, okay, if you really want to fight. So I would grab everybody I hung out with, and as soon as there was like a drove of like men coming at me, probably about 6 feet across and like 5 to 10 deep, I mean, it looked like an army of men wanting to beat me up. And when they came, they saw me with a cluster of women. And they stopped dead in their tracks. And I said, well, here's my group. If you want to throw hands, go ahead. I'll be in the back of the row, you know, just so make it to me. I said, because you got a choice right now. Either you'll beat up all of your girlfriends, I said, or you're going to be knocked down about 3 social pegs because I stood up to you and there's nothing you can really do about it. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of looked at me and walked off, and it became this giant, like, oh my gosh. And I mean, I don't know if it's still talked about, but I mean, it went on for at least 3, 4, 5 school years. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. But yeah, they appointed security just for me.
And your English teacher.
Is there a GSA there now?
There is now, yeah. It just, I mean, it's probably only a couple of years old now. But I guess the teacher that wanted to take it on at the time no longer wanted to take it on when I was there. And then that's when it just started kind of tapering away to nothing. The only protection I had was one of my English teachers, who outside of the administration office was the only one that would offer me sanctuary. So I would be able to pick up my lunch, go to her room, and sit there and eat it and just have a conversation with her and not feel like I have to swallow, you know, a 3-course lunch within 2 minutes so I can make sure to get up and run.
I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. That is just outrageous, you know, and it continues. Yeah. You know, that's the sad part.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, this is a good time for a music break. And before we go into our music that David is going to introduce, I wanted to let everybody know that we do have a couple of tickets to give away that Greg, our engineer, is going to tell you about.
That's right. And as you heard tonight on the Outbeat News, Napa Valley College is producing the Laramie Project 10 years later. That's the epilogue to the now famous Laramie Project play. And we have 2 tickets to the upcoming opening weekend, which will take place on Saturday, September 22nd. Showtime's at 8 p.m. So if you're a KRCB member or you would like to become one right now, we'll give you those 2 tickets to caller number 2. Give us a call now at 584-2020, 584-2020.
Go ahead, David. Introduce our song, honey.
Okay. It's Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
It doesn't matter if you love him. Or capital H-I-M. M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up. 'Cause you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Baby, I was born this way.
a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin, believe capital H. Just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. You're black, white, beige, chola, descent. You're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast or leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this way.
No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, chola, or
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan, and we are on in live in studio with Don and David Perez. And that was Lady Gaga singing Born This Way. David, I forgot to ask you, why did you choose this song as one of your favorite songs to share with the listeners tonight?
Well, aside from the fact that I am a nightclub goer and enjoy dancing, it's very upbeat. And it just, she promotes such a great message through the song about it doesn't even matter. It's not even geared just towards, you know, gay, lesbians, bisexuals, et cetera. It's all races, all people of different kinds. So it just, it really calls for me, and I think it should call for everyone. So
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. You agree with that, Mom?
Yeah, it's pretty, and it's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. So, Don, we're going to come to you now. So we want to know a little bit about you and your coming out story. So when did you come out? When did you know you were a lesbian?
I kind of knew when I was six, but I didn't understand the feelings. Because my mom had a friend, and she was putting us to bed one night, and she had this perfume.
Uh-oh.
And I had this butterfly thing. But I was six, so I didn't understand that butterfly thing, but I knew it was like, whoa, you know. But I just kind of repressed it, because back then it wasn't something that you, you know, would come out and say, or that it was accepted as it is today. And so I just, you know, kept on going. I totally came out at 24. Uh-huh. At 24. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's when I took the big step after my son was born.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Were you looking for a woman with that perfume?
No, honestly, no. But I would love to smell it again.
What was it called?
I have no idea. I was 6 years old. Also, I remember that at six, she put me to bed, my sister, and she leaned over to give me a kiss goodnight. And I smelt this smell, and all of a sudden, these funny butterflies in my stomach.
Wow.
As a little girl, you don't really know what that means. No. But yeah. Looking back now, I'm like, well, okay.
And she was your mom's friend.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. This is interesting.
So you were 24 when you came out.
Right.
Who did you come out to?
I came out to my mom, And she said, that was fine. I love you no matter what. As long as you're happy and you're healthy and you're treated right, I'm happy for you. And she was cool with
it. Is that when you had David, when you were 24?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, after he was born is when I came out. And yeah, had a few problems with his father and trying to get a little bit of answers from a doctor. And at that point, I was told that they were not educated in the line of the lifestyles, and so there was nothing they could do to help me. So it was a little bit confusing on the transition, but it worked out well. You know, I'm fine.
So did you meet other women?
I mean, after David was born? Yeah, uh-huh. I had a girlfriend immediately. I kind of was saying towards the end of my pregnancy. And so when I got home, it was see you later, Daddy, and come home, baby, you know. Sorry.
I love seeing you animated, Don. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was, yeah, it was like that. But,
Wow. So she helped you raise David? Or?
Because of the relationship and problems I had with his dad, I wasn't quite emotionally and physically where I should have been. So my choice of the lady wasn't one that I would have chosen now that I've gone through a lot of years of counseling and know who I am and what I want. She kind of took over where he left off, unfortunately. So I look back now thinking, what was I thinking? She was around from when he was a baby until he was about six. And that was it. And we took off from the Bay Area and moved to Guerneville after that. And then I was in another relationship with my second girlfriend for 7 years. And, yeah. Then now I'm taking time to figure out Dawn, who I am and what I want. Not as far as a lesbian. I know I'm a lesbian. But it's just...
as far as a companion.
Yeah. I feel like I've been married or in a partnership or always, you know, putting everyone before me. And I am, for the first time, taking a stand and putting me first and trying to figure me out, which is a big step. So
that's so liberating to hear you say that. I just have this huge smile on my face.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Wish everybody could take that time to figure out who they are before they get into another partnership.
Yeah, and I'm learning boundaries, and I'm learning, you know, what I like, what I don't, what I want, what I, you know, before it was just easier to, I don't know, it wasn't really planned, but it just seemed to work that way. Mm-hmm. Something wasn't going well, and I ended up into another relationship too soon, and I shouldn't have. And so now I've restricted myself from that, and I'm getting to know me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you, for, you know, being able to just show up and be honest about this stuff. I mean, this is why Cher and I do radio and do Living Proof, because we want people to come in, you know, talk about the real deal. Because there are other people out there who are not as courageous as you both are to talk about this kind of thing.
Right.
And for you, Dawn, to say, you know, you're showing up now. You're trying to do your life the right way for you now.
Exactly.
Which is so huge and so important.
Thank you. Yes. I totally agree.
Yes. And you know, and we had a little opportunity here in studio to talk to you and David before the show started. And I just, you know, my heart is warm when I see the two of you interact with one another. It's just really beautiful.
Thank you.
So talk about a little bit about your relationship and how do you do that? I mean, your relationship is just so beautiful.
He's my world. He's my everything. I love him unconditionally. And I knew before he came out that he was probably gay. Before he came out to me.
Oh,
as being
I thought
gay.
You, for some reason.
But, I mean, no, before he actually realized himself or he had the guts to tell me or whatever, it was a cute little way that he did it. It was interesting. Post-it note when I woke up on my freezer.
What did it say?
Well, it said bisexual with a definition, as I already know what that meant. And mind you, I just woke up, okay? So I'm like, okay, I'm gay and I don't, underline, want to talk about it. I'm rubbing my eyes and I'm rereading this letter going, what? You know, hello, I know what bisexual is and okay, you don't want to talk about this. Why? And it was kind of funny and cute. And prior to that, we were taking a trip back from Oregon. And I had told them, I don't know, I was getting this feeling that I needed to say this. And I says, you know, I just need to tell you something. I love you unconditionally. I don't care if you're with a purple person, a pink person, a guy, a girl, whatever makes you happy and treats you good. And that's all I ask. And I love you no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like after we had, I just had that little speech, which I'm sure was a little bit more in depth. It was like his whole composure just changed. It was like a big, deep breath. The shoulders went down. Radio went up, and we were just both rocking out with the music on the truck, and we were just driving. And then not too long after, I got the postage note, and he's gay. It's okay. I still love you. You know, thank you for telling me. Yeah, but he's been my everything. I love him. He's been through a lot with me.
So David, from your perspective, the post-it note, the trip to Oregon, tell us all about that.
Well, to be honest with you, I completely forgot about the post-it note. I don't know, coming out in general was just, I always had quirky things, like coming out to my friends. I even physically walked into a closet to metaphorically come out of the closet over the phone. Yeah, I know. I'm quirky. It's fun. But no, between my mom and I mean, it's been her and me since birth, and that's why the bond is so strong. I mean, through her good times and bad times and all of that, through thick and thin, we could disagree on something until we're blue in the face and throwing shoes at each other. But in the end, at the end of the day, we're going to always have each other's back when someone tries to come in and cause a problem with one of us.
But that's what I'm confused about, because you know that your mom's a lesbian ever mm-hmm. since you were born. Mm-hmm. And here you are coming out at
14.
At 14, but you left her post-it note and needed confirmation on your trip back from Oregon for you to feel more, lighter. So I'm curious about why you just couldn't talk to her.
Well, at that point, it was really interesting. The post-it note came actually after the road trip.
Okay.
So that's how that went. Yeah. I subconsciously probably had that whole like sigh of relief. I consciously had absolutely nothing going on in my mind other like, okay, mom, I get it. It's another mommy son talk. Okay, let's turn up the radio and just start rocking out. Are you done? And I guess it did something. Why it was uncomfortable to just come up and say it, couldn't tell you. I mean, discovering that something like that about oneself, regardless of it, it's still in my head a monumental proclamation to the world, like to just say it. And sometimes, even if it's to the safest person or the situation, it's still not it's not comfortable in the sense that it doesn't really, you're not used to saying it, so it's trying to get it out of your mouth. You're just like, whoa, this doesn't feel right yet,
Yeah.
So that's probably what the hesitation was for. I knew my mom would love me no matter what.
Yeah.
I just think it was because of the way I had that grand, epiphany about myself. I was like, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. That clears it up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Don, you want to add something?
I just thought it was adorable. Oh, okay. I love him.
Okay.
He's a sweetie.
So tell us a little bit about when David was a young boy. What did you notice? Because you said...
With sports, my son... I put him in it at first thinking he needed them, just to introduce him to other things to do and have a little bit of male time. Put him in baseball, soccer. Well, he was the one looking for butterflies in the outfield, didn't want to get dirty, wasn't really too, aggressive and assertive like the other boys. And then he did take to soccer, though, regardless. He did take to that and did very well. His father kind of tried to push martial arts. He is by far not a fighter. But I found something that we both love, and he loved dance and hip-hop. Mm-hmm. So I encouraged it, put him in it. He put on shows at Spreckles with the Dance Center. And he did amazing. He's still really good. I'm really proud of him with that. And I just knew. And throughout, the elementary, junior high, you'd have girls, oh, I love you. If you're still not with somebody and I'm 18, will you marry me? David would just bluntly say, no. Really cold. I'm like, David, you can't say that like that to a girl. You're going to crush her. She really. And there were girls who tried to give him a kiss. He'd run through the house screaming like a female. He didn't want to kiss a girl. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, obviously, he's not into this. And
but like, how okay. old was he when that happened?
12, 13. Old enough to where most boys would be like, okay. Yes. You know, I was very blatantly obvious. My son was not having it. And I was trying to say, well, okay, you just need to be a little bit more kinder in, you know, on how you respond to these girls. Because there were several that asked him if he would marry them if he wasn't with somebody. And they were good-looking girls. I'm like, sheesh. And he's like, no. I mean, I'm like, be gentle, you know, there's, even if that's not your thing, they still have feelings, you know.
Aww.
So I kind of knew then, and then the post-it note, after that, it's history, and there he is.
Well, okay. I'm sorry, but Don, so the post-it note came after the Oregon trip.
Right.
On the Oregon trip, you said, it doesn't matter if you are with someone who's pink or purple, boy or girl. What right. made you say that?
I just had a feeling that it was something he needed to hear, just based on my observations and his interactions and his mannerisms and his body language. And
so you suspected he was gay?
Since he was young. But, you know, I didn't want to play the card or say anything because it could have been just maturity level. Mm-hmm. Could have just been his personality. He had ADHD also, which made it a little bit more hard to really know if this is the ADHD and he's just, you know... Mm. acting like I have five children, or is this, you know, it really what I'm seeing here? So I waited till I felt he was at an appropriate age that I can, you know, touch base. I just felt the need that it's time I need to just tell this to him so he knows, you know, I love you. I love you. I don't care. As long as you're happy and healthy and you do what's right, I'm proud of you.
Don, you don't know how funny you are.
Thanks.
And charming. And I'm Thank getting you. How, David, you're so charming now.
Thank you.
I'm seeing it. It's coming out, isn't she? It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I want to go into that hip hop. So what are you doing? What did you do? Are you still dancing?
Well, I did it for probably a year or so. What happened is I needed some sort of transition out of soccer and baseball because the dirt and the grass stains were definitely not for me. I did enjoy soccer, though. But I went to the dance center out here on Railroad Square, and I did hip-hop classes for both beginner and intermediate. I really enjoyed that and put on a performance. My mini claim to fame, I guess, with the family was my rendition of Smooth Criminal. So, I mean, with that, it helped me transition over into the new school. It gave me something to do to occupy your mind and my mind, not your mind. And when I was in Santa Rosa High, eventually after that year ended for hip hop, I applied to do cheerleading inside of Santa Rosa High. And for me, that was kind of like, oh, okay, it's a workout with stunts, and it was also dancing as well. I could do that. And at that time, through auditions, because of that hip-hop class and whatnot, I ended up being appointed the captain of the varsity squad. And it kind of pissed off a lot of the girls because they're like, we've been doing this since we've been in diapers, and here you come. And I'm like, well, anybody can learn to yell. Most people don't have rhythm. I'm like, I'm not saying you don't, but apparently I have more. Yeah. So, you know, but it was still fun. My squad was very, very fun. But it just really kind of opened the door for something I love to do. So,
you're not doing any dancing now?
Professionally or through classes, no. Uh-huh. But every now and again, you know, my partner and I, you know, when we get the opportunity, we'll head out to a club and, you know, just cut a rug or tear up the dance floor. It's really fun because he's also a informal choreographer as well.
Nice. Well, speaking of music, it is time for another music break. And Don, you brought a song along. So could you tell us why you brought the song and who it is and the name of the song?
Okay, it's Melissa Etheridge, and it's Come to My Window. And I chose it because she's a very inspirational person to me. And I just love her music. And just
great.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
You too.
Keep me from New York City. to dial the numbers just to listen to your breath. I would stand inside my hell and hold the hand of death. You don't know how far I go to ease this precious ache. And you don't know how much I give just to reach you, just to reach you. Oh, to reach you. What do they know about this love?
Welcome back. This is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we have Dawn and David Prez, mother and son, who are both gay, and we just thought that was terrific, and so far it's been a really fun interview, and so Diana has a couple questions about positive images, David.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just, I think that's a good place to start since time is ticking, because, you know, as you know, your experience in school, and there's a lot of kids out there who are struggling. So I'm just curious about if you could talk a little bit about your experience with PI and the information there, or, you know, just, you know, how it helped you.
Of course.
That's all. Just basically how it helped you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, PI is a local organization for Sonoma counties, but I really do believe that there should be more organizations that are geared towards queer youth and young adults, because this from 13 to 23 is really an important time in everyone's life to help, you know, with self-discovery and letting people, you know, in learning about life. And what better way to do it than in the safety of people who are also identifiable in your community. But for me at 14, I mean, it was fine. It was great. I had the opportunity to build a social network and social group of people who were either supporting of the community or part of the community. I mean, my gosh, the growth from there was endless. I mean, it helped my public speaking skills. Mm-hmm. It helped me with, peer counseling skills, and just all around being a better person for, you know, the community. I really do, you know, thank Jim for giving me the opportunity to not only be a part of that organization, but also to help me transition to a safer place for my upbringing through school years. And, you know, words can't really be enough for the gratitude. In general, I really think that we have a long way to go for more support, but at the same time, we're right on track. You know, they have helplines now, the 800 numbers and whatnot. So if they don't have any in their area, there's always an 800 number that you can finally call that's actually geared towards counseling those who are queer youth and young adults. And it's a really nice thing to know about all these. So it's just, you know, really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Thank you for that. And Dawn, you talked earlier with us about the help you used to help kids out a lot.
Right.
They would find you for somehow.
Yeah, my son David.
Oh, through David they came
would
to you.
Bring one person and then another, and then, well, I always seemed to be the one mom that all the kids want to hang out at my house. And I love kids. And they, I guess maybe because I didn't really have such a good childhood, and I could relate to them because of the hardships I've gone through. And they were all walks of life, but slowly but surely it started at one or two. Then it got up to 14 youth. And
they're all dealing with LGBT.
They were dealing with either family abuse, sexual abuse, or kicked out because of their lifestyle and trying to come out to their parents, and they weren't having it, and they were on the streets. And I can't, in good conscience, know that there's a child in the street that could potentially get hurt, you know, because they love somebody or they think that that's who they are, or they're in danger in their home. I mean, so my son kind of brought them around, and I got attached, and it just worked out somehow.
When you say got up to 14.
14 kids.
Living with you? Or?
Yeah, staying at my place, and, you know, somehow God provided. They had to be, because I was able to give them food. They all worked well together. They got shelter. They could shower. And they all helped. It was really a very unique, interesting experience. Because they were so different. I mean, you had, you know, the real hard ones that were like punkers and like to cut and things. And then you have your really soft kind of, you know, and then you've got your partier ones and the little wild ones. The groups that you would never expect to interact and get along with. But somehow they figured out how to do it and slowly transitioned out and are doing really fabulous now, thank God. But yeah, it was really sad to see that. It was really sad that they don't have a better support or a place to be or something.
So, David, you were going to say something. Obviously, you knew your mom would be welcoming these friends of yours. I would say friends or just people who are kids who are needing some help.
Oh, no, they were definitely friends. And, again, it was also through social networking. In regards to the 14 children comment, it was, but that was combined over so many years. It was never literally 14 people hunkered down in a living room. So just kind of wanted to throw that out there. But, you know, in general, and the help that my mother, I knew, would be able to offer as like the motherly figure, would stem anywhere from offering them a place to stay for the weekend or something, or it would just be me bringing them over for a day and then just having a good heart-to-heart talk every now and again. And they would return and just come back on a regular basis, almost as just kind of like a social counseling, kind of almost like an informal group therapy, I guess you could say, because they ended up meeting each other through this, and then from there became close-knit friends, and they were from different social cliques, so to speak. So you would think in that group they would never mesh with these people, but then all of a sudden they have. So
I'm just really floored. My hat's off to you, ma'am.
Thank you,
Dawn. I mean, that's just wonderful work. Not a lot of people would do that.
Thank you. I'd do it again.
So we're at the point in our interview where we need to close, unfortunately. And what we like to do is ask our guests for words of advice for other people out there that might be in your same shoes, but not as brave. Diana talked earlier about you both being so courageous to come on the air, and we thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. So in a couple sentences or so, David, could you start out and give some advice to whatever moves you to say?
Sure, yeah. For the youth and young adult out there, I would say in this fast-paced world, everything is now. That doesn't mean that, you know, maybe you wanting to come out is not necessarily now is not the good time. So you do that when you're ready and willing to, and everything will fall into place. Forcing it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but, you know, by being so rash, there can be adverse effects. So in your own time, when you're comfortable, just do it when you're ready.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Don, do you have any words of advice for maybe parents out there or kids?
I think that parents should love their children unconditionally, regardless of what their preference is as far as loving another human being, because it's not about the gender. It's about, you know, love. Love is love. It's not, it shouldn't be any different if it's the opposite sex or the same sex. And you should love your child and be there unconditionally and respect them and try to support them. Mm-hmm. Because that's a really big thing, and it's a hard thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely said. Yeah.
Thank you.
We want to thank you both so much for being on our show tonight. And we want to remind people that, again, this is Dr. Diana Grayer and Sheridan Gold, and we're signing off for now. And please remember that people like Dawn and David are living proof that our community is strong and vibrant and beautiful, just
thank
like
you.
They are.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank,
mean,
you.
Really, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And so we
it's
will
great.
Meet again next month. I believe it's October 7th, first Sunday of October. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. Then you can.
Before we go tonight, we have two more tickets for any of our listeners to the Napa Valley College production of The Laramie Project 10 Years Later. That's coming up on their opening weekend, Saturday, September 22nd at 8 p.m. We'll give those two tickets away to the very first caller at 584-2020, 584-2020. And be sure to join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. Remember, you can listen to past shows and find out what's coming up next on Outbeat Radio by visiting our website at outbeatradio.com.
Can't stop me now. You can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud?
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Lagunitas Brewing Company of Petaluma. Lagunitas, putting the pub in public radio, beer speaks, people mumble. You're listening to KRCB-FM Santa Rosa, Windsor Santa Rosa, at 91.1 and 90.9 FM. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.
So many.